The nation's two largest cable companies announced this morning that they're one step closer to becoming one. In a deal worth around $45 billion, Comcast would take over Time Warner. The two would form one of the largest telecommunications companies in the United States. And they'd control a lot of the nation's pay TV and broadband services.
Well, it's still not a done deal. It's a plan that has everyone talking and wondering how it would affect us, the consumers. And according to our next guest, it would be a disaster for consumers, and he'd like to see it stopped.
Joining us now is Tim Carr. He's Senior Director of Strategy at Free Press. Tim, welcome to Central Time.
Good afternoon.
Well, as we mentioned, Free Press in a press release called this deal a disaster for consumers. Why is that?
Well, it's usually the case when you see consolidation like this happening, and this is an industry that is already incredibly consolidated. When you see the consolidation at this level, it means a lack of competition. A lack of competition means a lack of choice for consumers, and when you have fewer choices in the marketplace, prices for cable television, prices for broadband internet access tend to go up. And we've seen already with both of these companies, Time Warner Cable and Comcast, a track record of raising prices far above the national average. So it will hit consumers certainly in their pocketbook, and that they will have fewer choices and likely have to pay a lot more for the services that one cable provider gives them. But it also has a lot of problems related to content, the type of content that we can download via the internet, the type of content we can access via the internet. Comcast is a big internet service provider as well, and they have a history of blocking or degrading access to certain services. They have a practice of capping the amount of data that consumers can use. So we'll see a continuation of these practices, which would not be good for people.
I want to follow that point about content providing. Will this give Comcast, the new company with Time Warner now, more leverage in dealing with the people who are making the content that goes out on cable?
It will. I think it's fair to say that that will happen. I mean, Comcast, people will remember that back in 2011, Comcast purchased NBC Universal. So it is not simply now in the business of providing you with a cable connection and with an internet connection. It also is in the business of a lot of the content that flows over those pipes. And the way the internet was intended to be used was it left choice of content in the hands of the consumer. The end user can get online, and we get to pick what kind of videos we want to watch, what sort of search services we want to watch. We can use a service like Netflix and to stream over the internet to watch video. And now that Comcast, which is in that business as well, also controls so much of our internet access across the country, the tendency for them will be to discriminate against their competitors, to provide special privileged access to the products that they provide while degrading some of the others. And that violates a fundamental tenet of openness that has been really the bedrock of the internet since its inception.
Well, you painted a picture of this merger meaning, you know, less competition, higher rates for consumers. In their press release announcing this deal, Comcast says, no, we're going to have more efficiency. Merging our services is going to save $1.5 billion in operating efficiencies. These savings could go to the consumer, and we'll have technological innovations. There will be a synergy, was the word they used. You don't buy that?
I don't buy it. Anytime a company says synergy, especially a company that is promoting its merger, it usually translates as higher prices for the consumers, job layoffs. As companies merge, they do create these efficiencies of scale that ultimately result in job losses. So there are a lot of bad things that could happen with this. I think most of the things associated with taking competition out of a marketplace is a bad thing. And Comcast, again, has a track record of being anti-consumer. It has been gets routinely voted as one of the worst service companies in the country on a number of surveys. So anybody who has spent a day home waiting for the Comcast cable guy to show up can understand that frustration.
Comcast and Time Warner Cable have been pointing out, hey, we don't compete directly in any markets. I think they said they don't even share a zip code where they provide services. Shouldn't that mean less impact if we're not seeing competing guys in the same area merging together?
Well, this is the problem with the cable model itself, is that they negotiate local monopolies. Oftentimes, what a cable company like Comcast or Time Warner Cable will do is they'll go into a local market and they'll negotiate with the municipality for right-of-way, the ability to string cable lines and dig ditches and string those lines to your home. And in exchange for that right-of-way and certain services that are rendered to the city, they ask for exclusivity. That is, that they are the only provider in that market. So there is a monopoly already between Comcast and Time Warner. But what's happening now is that you're creating this single company that controls so much of our media. And it is really this kind of new face of media consolidation. It's a consolidation of both a conduit provider and a content provider that could trigger a lot of other mergers across the industry as other companies try to keep up with Comcast.
Right, and Charter was already trying to do a more hostile takeover of Time Warner, right?
That's right, and Comcast came in and gave a better offer.
Well, in watching the coverage of this, a lot of it has been over the plum markets, I guess, the big cities. A concern here in Wisconsin is service in smaller towns and rural areas where, as you say, there might be just one company having the rights to provide services. How do you see a merger like this affecting coverage outside of those big city markets?
It's hard to say whether this will result in build out into new markets. It doesn't seem that will be the case, as they focus on consolidating the existing markets that they have. And Comcast and Time Warner Cable have focused on larger populations. They are of the 20 largest television markets in the country. They now, if this merger goes through, will have a presence in 19. And so there are other efforts that are being made by municipalities and communities to build their own broadband networks, especially in areas, rural areas, where the cable provider may not come out that far, where the phone service is limited to something like DSL, which for a lot of people is not sufficient, that you'll find communities building municipal broadband networks. This is just interesting because Time Warner Cable and Comcast have both been active in trying to prevent communities from doing that. On the state level, in 19 states, legislation has passed that prevents municipal and community broadband networks from being built. And a lot of times that legislation has been proposed and supported by cable companies like Comcast and Time Warner Cable.
Even absent this merger, do you think that American consumers pay too much for the cable service and the broadband service they're getting now?
Well, if you look at a lot of international measures of that, where people rate the amount of money we pay for the speed that we get, the United States, which used to be, you know, among the top five countries in provision of fast broadband services, has fallen on almost every international measure. And so we are somewhere behind Estonia and Latvia, according to certain rankings. So, yes, there has been a problem of the decline of services and higher prices for broadband in the United States. And a lot of that is a result of this lack of competition. What happened more than a decade ago was a deregulation of the industry that under the Bush era at that time, in 2002, through 2005, there were a number of deregulatory moves that were made by the FCC. And the belief there was that if we deregulate Internet access marketplace, it will create a more competitive environment. What deregulation yielded for us was the opposite. It allowed for these companies to consolidate, to buy up local cable providers, to build these cable colossus of the scale of Comcast, and to use that market power and their dominance over the marketplace and the lack of choice to increase prices for consumers and to degrade services.
Some high-tech companies have sniffed around the edges of this market, seeing if there's a way they could break in. With the situation now and maybe with this merger, how hard would it be for a new player to get into this industry?
Well, you know, it is a very investment-intensive industry to get into. People may be familiar with Google, which is testing something called Google Fiber in Kansas City. Google has a lot of cash on hand and the ability to test these things. And so, there have been a lot of comments today in the wake of this decision about whether or not Google can come in and build fiber and give people another option. But at the moment, that's been limited to Kansas City, and I know that's been a big investment for Google. I mean, there have been other lower efforts by municipalities to build their own fiber networks. There's a very good example in Chattanooga, Tennessee, for example, where the local electricity utility used the existing infrastructure to lay fiber access to communities, and that's been a very positive experience for them. So, if the private sector cannot invest in providing an alternative there, maybe people can start looking towards their cities and see whether it's viable for them to build municipal broadband
there. We're talking with Tim Carr of Free Press about the proposed Comcast and Time Warner merger, and we want to hear from you.
As a consumer, how do you feel about this? Are you worried about the prospect of a monopoly and rising prices, or do you see benefits from this merger? Call us at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234, or send email to talk@wpr.org.
We're talking about the proposed merger between Time Warner and Comcast with Tim Carr, Senior Director of Strategy at Free Press, and we want to hear from you, too.
As a consumer, how do you feel about Time Warner and Comcast possibly coming together? Are you worried about the prospect of a monopoly or rising prices? Or maybe you see benefits from the merger, maybe changes to the way content is delivered or technological innovation? You can give us a call with your thoughts at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Or you can send an email to talk@wpr.org.
We have a comment from Amy on our Facebook rights. She writes, as far as cable is concerned, it's the evil of two lessers. Tim, we just have this dislike of cable companies. A lot of people do. Are we just predisposed to hate this deal and anything cable companies do and not necessarily give it a fair shake?
Well, I think a lot of people have a sort of visceral firsthand experience with getting their cable installed. And then oftentimes if you have any technical problems, it's difficult to get repairs that you need and things like that. So there is, there have been a number of annual polls, annual surveys of consumers. The Consumerist website runs an annual poll, and they found Comcast to be voted the worst company in America. So there is that kind of reputation that the cable company has that puts a bad taste in the mouths of a lot of people. But it also, it has a real track record on other issues. It has a history. Comcast, in particular, has a history of throttling content, throttling file sharing and services like BitTorrent. They have a history of going after companies like Netflix. A lot of people use Netflix to watch videos, and Comcast is really trying to curtail people's ability to use Netflix as their television viewing option, because of course Comcast is not just an internet company, it is a cable company, and it doesn't want people using the internet in ways that might compete with its cable television service.
We'll go to our callers now. We have Arlene with us in New Berlin. Hi, Arlene.
Good afternoon. I'm glad I called in. I want to tell you that I've had very good experience with Time Warner Cable. I do not want them to sell to Comcast. I'm from a generation where you turned on the television, there was no cable. You could pick and choose what you wanted to view. And when I've had problems with recently, because I bought a new television set and a sound bar and a blue DVD player, they were very helpful with me. And I don't want a company who's going to scrutinize everything. What happened to freedom of choice?
Arlene, thanks for the call. So do you think Time Warner customers worried about what this might mean for service, Tim?
Well, there was one example of someone who had a very good experience with Time Warner. So that is a real concern. And I think that is this transition. If this merger is approved, and that still is an if, this has to go through an approval process at the Department of Justice and at the Federal Communications Commission. But if this merger were to go through, the Comcast boasts of certain synergies. This is a very, you hear this word synergy a lot when companies talk about merging. that they can combine services and be more efficient. But oftentimes that doesn't work out. And someone who's had a good experience with a Time Warner Cable, synergy might be a bad thing. It may not be a good thing. And synergies also often translate as job loss. When large corporations merge and boast of, you know, synergies as benefits of the merger, it often translates for workers in these companies as job loss as they increase their scale and efficiencies of scale and the economies of scale. They lay off workers to try to improve their bottom line.
Arlene, thanks a lot for the call. We'll go now to Rourke with us in Fall Creek. Rourke, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm a former customer service representative through a third-party company. We would actually take calls for both Time Warner Cable and Comcast at the same time. We'd take two calls for Time Warner, one for Comcast, and the next call would be Time Warner. And I think the merger would be good because each of the companies had different rules and regulations on install dates, pricing, and all that. And if the two systems were merged together, it was one company, I think that would cut down a lot on the errors and would increase, you know, customer satisfaction because there wouldn't be as many mistakes on the customer service end.
Rourke, thanks a lot for the call. So an outsourced, in effect, customer service representative there, Tim, says this might make life a little easier for customers and maybe make things more predictable as you move from one company to the other as you move around the country.
Well, I mean, there was a time not too long ago when we had one telephone company. Everybody can remember. Everybody of a certain age, I should say, can remember AT&T and Ma Bell and that rotary phone that we all had because AT&T didn't allow people to use any other phone. So I think that there may be some efficiencies, certainly, but there are also a lot of problems when you have one company controlling all sorts of things. And what we're talking about is really controlling the future of media. As more and more things go online, I mean, in the 30 years of the Internet, you've seen people now are reading newspapers, they're listening to radio, they're listening to music, they're watching videos over the Internet. It is becoming the central convergence zone of all things media. And so when you have one company controlling all things media, sure, there may be some efficiencies as far as how they service their lines, but the effect on content, I think, is something that we should also be very concerned about.
We've got Dave in Milltown with us now. Dave, hi.
How you doing, guys? I'm all for the merge, actually. I live in a rural area, and we're under a local co-op. And tell you the truth, I lived in lots of cities beforehand, and I was paying $30 a month for twice the speed that I have now on cable, better channel selections. And where I am now, it's a monopolized from the co-op. So I'm for the merge because we can get some diversity and maybe some legislative pull to get rid of that co-op monopoly so they can't charge me $90 for the same thing I could get for $30 two cities away.
Dave,
so I'm definitely for it.
Dave, thanks for the call. Tim, you suggested earlier that might not be the outcome. These big companies might not be interested in competing in places that currently have a smaller co-op.
I don't think that at the moment that Comcast is interested in building out in that way. If Comcast and Time Warner Cable aren't already in a market, there isn't, at least in the short term, an incentive to build out into new markets. It hasn't been the case that we've seen in the past cable mergers. And so there is a possibility in the process of approval via the Federal Communications Commission and the Department of Justice that they attach certain conditions to this merger that could include scaling back prices, that could include providing services in new communities, but we've really yet to come to that point within the negotiation.
Well, stepping back a little bit, obviously this merger is not a direction you'd like to see cable and internet moving in. What kind of changes do you think would answer some existing problems of cost and service when it comes to consumers getting their cable, getting their internet service?
Well, one of the things that we can do is provide incentives for a lot of these community and municipal broadband networks to be built so that where you are in a place where there are very few choices, or you're in a place where there are no choices, you can band together as a community and provide access for your residents. There are also sort of federal level things that can be done on building out our fiber network so that even if you are in a fairly rural region, there is a national fiber grid that you can tap into and build services. We also think that you know, we made some mistakes over the last 25 years in deregulating certain aspects of the sector so that these large colossus could emerge, and that we need to look at rules like common carriage as a possible rule that we can apply to broadband internet services so that a number of competing services can use the same infrastructure in order to offer cheaper costs to the consumer. A lot of people can remember the old dial-up days when you had a telephone connection and there were dozens of companies that were competing for dial-up access using that one network. That was a principle of common carriage. It's possible that we can look at that model and see whether it increases. We can use it to increase competition in the broadband space and allow more choices for consumers.
Well, as you say, this merger between Time Warner and Comcast goes to the feds now. What, if anything, can consumers do to voice their opinion on it?
Well, we at Free Press, we are an advocacy organization that represents the public interest in these types of debates. We have a lot of resources via our website, freepress.net. One action that we're running as of today allows people to write to the FCC and write to the Department of Justice and make sure that we don't let a predatory merger like this go through.
Tim, thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure.
That's Tim Carr. He's Senior Director of Strategy at the group Free Press.